Hey everybody, how's it going? My name is Mark. Welcome to the pilot episode of Red Band Radio.
And my name is Dan. Thanks for listening. I'm sure most of you guys are used to watching our YouTube videos, but this is going to be our podcast. We've got a lot of experience with making new YouTube videos, but this is going to be the first time we've done an audio-only kind of show. We figure it'll give us a lot more time to elaborate on stories and stuff.
Yeah, we try and make our videos fairly quick, as far as less than 15 minutes. We could make them longer, but we know the audience on YouTube is, somewhat limited as far as trying not to have things be a half an hour long or 45 minutes long, but figure this would be a good chance to kind of dive into some longer topics and just make a really long, kind of a long show.
Yeah, and we're always smoking a bowl, so it usually ends up being about one bowl's length on the video. So we smoke a bowl and pretty much sign off from there, so we figure we'll be able to go off on things a little bit more on the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. But we're still going to smoke, so hope everybody's joining us. Either, if you're driving or out walking or sitting in class or something, maybe you shouldn't be, join us. But
that's a good point. Not everybody watches or listens to a podcast sitting at home.
Exactly.
Or they watch their videos.
But, yeah, we got the trusty bong, I guess, as you guys can imagine. It's got the ice in it, and it's fairly clean and got some more Golden Goat lined up. Once the dispensary is closed here in Fort Collins, we actually got a bunch of Golden Goat because we're not sure when we'll be able to get it again. So,
yeah, it's pretty much our favorite strain as of recently. I mean, generally I would say the Sour Diesel, but recently that Golden Goat's just been, I don't know, that much better. It just is that much more of a quality bud. It's a little bit moister, more of a dense bud.
Yeah, it just smokes good. You feel it behind the eyes, and just mm-hmm. really be good heady buzz, and it's nice. But
mm-hmm.
all right, start smoking.
Cheers.
Yeah, the plan for this audio will go up on redband.com. First, so everybody listening through the website, that's awesome. If you're listening to this, probably eventually after be on the website for a few days, we'll put it up on YouTube and we'll add some video to it and whatnot. But so if you haven't checked out the website, definitely go to redband.com.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have some more podcasts and radio like this. There's forums, there's some pictures, and here pretty soon we're gonna have some T-shirts for sale. Check that out.
Yeah, I've been working on the logo. I made it in After Effects just because I'm not very experienced with Photoshop. I just know the menus and the interface on After Effects, so that's where I made the logo at and just exported as a JPEG. So that's kind of funny. That's for all you graphic artists out there, you're probably cringing at the thought of making a graphic in After Effects.
But we need something simple. We want something that's just one color. We make some simple T-shirts. The first run, something that does not have a cannabis leaf on it. Just because the place we're going to get it, we're not sure how cannabis-friendly they are. And we want to make some shirts that are mainstream, that people can wear to work, you can wear to school, you can wear around home, out and about. And people aren't really going to necessarily find it to be, weed related until they either do a Google search for it, or until they, they ask and you tell them. But
yeah, if they ask you, you could always just lie about it or something like that. Like, oh, it's a band or something like that. Like, until they go home and Google it themselves, they're not really gonna understand. So, I feel like that's something that I want someone to be able to wear to school and
not be discriminated against for it.
Yeah.
Even in college, you go to college and people are going to look at you funny if you're wearing you got a weed leaf on your shirt. But if you got just a simple Red Band logo, people, a little mystery behind it, a little what is that. I mean, but yeah, the website should be something definitely to check out and definitely come back for, as far as we'll be changing it and add stuff to it soon. And doing more stuff like this.
But at the same time, people can't be smoking along with us if they're sitting in class, but it's kind of funny that they're listening to us smoke while they're while their teacher is up there lecturing or something like that.
Yeah, like
sitting in study hall
or sitting in rush hour traffic or something, or you're studying for a math test. You're sitting at your computer at work, pretending to be working.
Yeah. They're stocking shelves at work, trying to drown out the horrible music that's over the intercom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's where I used to listen to podcasts. I used to download a bunch of video game podcasts. This was right about the time Halo 3 came out, so there was one called Podtacular.
People are probably even, like, searching on the internet, looking at other pages while this is playing in the background. People are watching porn while they're listening to us.
That's messed up.
Well, they're probably, like, writing emails to their grandma and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, since I just mentioned their grandma, they probably aren't watching porn anymore.
Yeah.
If they were, so.
Yeah, way to spoil that one.
Although I suppose probably some people do that with our videos. I mean, how many videos are there up? There's probably 70-some videos by now. I haven't even looked lately, but however many videos we have up, I'm sure people are watching it. Some watching it while they're listening to it, while they're not necessarily watching it. Or
yeah, a lot of times there's not really much going on. As far as it's the same scene, it's always the couch, and there's nothing else happening. We're not taking big hits or anything. But
yeah,
they're probably just more interested in us talking.
But I mean, we could put up videos every day if we so desired, but I mean, I do think we definitely hold off from making videos and trying to have a certain amount of quality to them.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, they are just sometimes we're just sitting here smoking, but we're trying to have topical, we're trying to have things to say, we try not to have long periods of silence, or make sure the lighting is right. I mean, we definitely go to the work to make a quality video that either other people don't do, or that, you know, if we were really trying to put up a lot of videos, we would do. But I mean, yeah, I still think 70 some videos since, you know, when, you know, when did the first regular videos start coming out? Like June?
Yeah, July. June, July. Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah, there was the first video that was a reply to Paul Token's birthday. It was in December of 2010.
Yeah.
And then we didn't really make...
There was a couple of videos that I made, like the close-up one and the quickie one.
But there were no face... We didn't show our faces.
No.
Until the June of 2011.
Yeah, the Ganjun giveaway. And we weren't going to make a video for that. We were thinking about making a video, but we weren't going to. Just because of that extra step of showing our faces on the internet. We didn't want to, you know, I mean, it's just minimizing risk. If we hadn't, like, if we don't show our face on the internet, we haven't put ourselves at risk yet, so. But because we're medical marijuana patients, we kind of got around our
Got over that. Because, yeah, we are protected by the police. We don't really have to worry about the police coming and knocking on our door.
No.
As far as what we're doing wrong, it would be like the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or, you know, the some sort of the federal government, which is just, there's so many other fish for them to fry. There's dispensaries, there's growers, there's illegal drug dealers. We're buying and smoking it all, so there's no...
Yeah, we're just simple medical marijuana patients, but at the same time, that's kind of why we started making more videos, is because we felt like we had a story to tell, like we had, you know, a point of view that people needed to hear. We wanted to tell our story and get it out there. And the more people that see responsible medical marijuana usage, the more people will understand that it's like an acceptable part of modern society.
Yeah, you don't need to judge people that choose to smoke cannabis, or just because people do smoke a lot of it, it doesn't mean that they're dodging responsibility, or that they don't have personal hygiene, or that they're unintelligent or don't think about the things they say before they say them. Like,
or that while they're doing it, they're getting wasted.
Like, yeah, they're getting just high. It's like,
yeah.
People even asked us, you know, is it all medical or do you just do it to get high? It's like, well, it's just kind of more a matter of the vocabulary you choose to use. I mean, getting high in a way we don't want, that seems kind of disrespectful to cannabis, or it makes it seem like an irresponsible thing. Or like, we're using it for overall wellness and we don't let it affect our daily lives in a negative way.
But yet, like, because I suffer from depression, I do sit down and say, hey, let's get high, because I want to feel better, I want to feel good, I want to feel well. So, because, you know, whether it's my stomach is in pain, or whether it's I'm just not feeling good that day, like, I'm not feeling happy and I'm not feeling well, then, yeah, I do sit down and say, hey, let's get high. But it's because I haven't medicated yet. It's a synonym for let's get medicated, let's get high, let's get stoned.
Let's get well. It's like, and that's why, you know, yeah, the videos came about, as far as we felt like we were in a way unique, as far as sometimes the, I guess, the amount of cannabis that we use, or the fact that we're able to use that amount and still be, you know, productive members of society.
Mm-hmm.
And almost as a protest, as far as the fact that it's still federally illegal, but, you know, we're here to say that we're still going to be using cannabis no matter what. I mean, even if the federal government comes down and on things, or even if the state of Colorado repeals their medical cannabis laws, we're still going to be smoking. We might not make videos, we might not make as much, we might not show our faces, but, you know, we're, I guess, kind of here to say that we're responsible users and we're here to stay.
Mm-hmm. And it's taken a while to lead up to all that. You know, at first I didn't want to say why I had my medical marijuana license. I don't know. I guess I was worried about someone saying, well, hey, you're not medicating properly. And I was like, I mean, I just had to get beyond that and start telling people, you know, more people are now, I don't know, appreciate that depression is an acceptable form of medicating. You know, I've gotten several messages from, you know, kids saying that, hey, you know, their parents put them on depression medicine, but they feel that marijuana would be better for them.
Yeah, that's always been great, just meeting people. It would be older people, young people that say that their lives have benefited from cannabis. And, you know, can't judge. You know, there's so many people that really would benefit from using cannabis. And as long as they can say that they own up to their responsibilities and that they're still trying to learn and still trying to proceed in life and have goals and ambition, and as long as you aren't using cannabis as an excuse for anything, you know, we don't want people to say, oh, you know, you're lazy because you smoke cannabis, or, you know, just because you choose to spend your money on cannabis that you're a bad person, or that you're irresponsible. It's like, just can't let cannabis be an excuse. I think even though some of our videos are just kind of us getting high, or what it seems like us getting high, or just trying to show Milky Bong hits in 3K, it's like kind of a subtle, I don't know, I guess a subtle way of kind of making cannabis seem more mainstream. I mean, for someone to be chugging a beer on a YouTube channel would be nothing. I mean, it'd almost be boring. Who cares? But somehow cannabis smoke is shocking to people, or I don't know. It's an interesting thing. But yeah, I mean, the videos have come along. The channel has kind of morphed and changed, and we've made videos we didn't think we'd ever make, or it's probably even more popular than we thought we'd ever be. Things are moving along.
Yeah, even every once in a while, I still get surprised by some of the numbers that show up on some of these videos. It's like just recently that Milky Bong Rips in 3K has gotten popular and become the most watched video each day. I think it was like 14,000 views in one day. Not that video, but of all the videos, this channel got 14,000 views in one day. That was that's a record high. It's been around 9 or 10 recently.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like, you know, Dan kind of runs the channel as far as uploads the videos, comments that come from the uploader are him. You know, he has access to a few more stats than the public would have. But I go on there on a daily basis and read comments and try and reply to comments. There's several times that I've had to, what do you call that, when the computer asks you to put in a thing?
CAPTCHA?
Yeah.
CAPTCHA? Well, yeah. I fucking hate CAPTCHA. Yeah. It's like my dyslexia comes out when when a CAPTCHA, I have to do a CAPTCHA, because I can't read if it's an I and an O or a U. Or it's just, I hate that. I hate that. Like, I fail that shit all the time. And I feel like, I don't know.
Like, ask for a better one. I always end up asking for a better one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's constant. There's several times where I'm on the channel making comments, and I have to do one of those because I've... Mm-hmm. It's like, you've made too many comments. Like, are you a troll? Or it's like, no, I'm just trying to make comments. And,
yeah.
Answer people's questions and be a part of the discussion as much as possible.
Yeah, I suppose recently you've probably been making more comments than I have.
Yeah, but like I can't, you know, you get the emails when every time there's a comment, every time there's a subscriber, you get... That's what that
Speaking
little beep...
Speaking of which, did you guys hear that?
You hear that little beep in the background, but that's what that was. It's
like, yep, that's an email on my phone.
Which, yeah, usually means a subscriber, a comment, something along those lines.
So. Should we look up who that was? Just for yucks.
Yeah, some new person, but yeah, I mean, I check out the stats. Who we got?
The Panya 251
subscribed.
Has subscribed.
All right, well, dude.
So, yep.
Oof, that's cash. That over there. And yeah, we hope the channel goes a lot of places as far as more videos. We're trying to do, you know, maybe trying to show more videos of things in the industry as far as grows or dispensaries. Or we'd like to try and interview people and talk to people within the industry and either famous people or just people that are a part of the change, or, you know, especially with the legalization in 2012 coming up. I think we'll try and be kind of on the forefront of that battle.
Yeah, especially being in Denver, I think there will be a lot of gatherings around that movement.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's the plan, is to figure out a way to move to Denver. I mean, this might take some time. There's a lot of, I mean, anybody that's moved, it's not easy to just kind of pack up and move, and jobs and whatnot. But yeah, the future is bright. The future is strong. We've got a lot of kind of things we're hoping to do and looking forward to doing.
Yeah, and like once the weather gets nicer, summertime, we'll be able to go outside and make more videos outside. We got the GoPro, but we haven't really made a whole lot of outdoor videos just because it's cold outside. It's uncomfortable for us to be out there. Mm-hmm. I know the GoPro could handle being out there in the snow and stuff, but I just don't want to be out there in the cold for a few hours.
Yeah, limited amount of light, too. There's just sometimes there's not... Yeah. Daylight just doesn't last very long.
Yeah, it's getting dark by 4 or 4:30. I don't even know exactly what time, but it's not enough light. Because we always enjoy some outdoor stuff, and that's pretty much the reasons why we moved out to Colorado. Because we enjoyed being outdoors.
Yeah, that's always been a good time, is being outside. I mean, I think it's one of the stories we want to get into. It's just like kind of diving back as to... Yeah. How, you know, the events that led to us moving out to Colorado and some of our first experiences in Colorado. I think it kind of goes back to 2006 when we decided to come out here on a vacation from Iowa. So I don't know if you guys know, it's, I don't even know how many miles, but it's about a 10-hour drive.
700-some miles? 750, miles. Something like that.
It's like we were living together in a house... in the town that we grew up in central Iowa. It's like, what, I think the main, it's like, what spurred that idea to come out on vacation? I think it was there was a Widespread Panic concert.
Yeah,
it was going to be 3 days in Denver, and we just thought we wanted to go do that.
Yeah, I had looked up the tour dates for the Widespread Panic that summer, and one of them was 3 days at Red Rocks in Colorado, and I was like, holy crap, that would be awesome to... go to concerts out there.
Yeah, Red Rocks is an outdoor amphitheater, and it's supposedly just the best outdoor venue in the world. I mean, there's giant monolithic rocks on both sides, and it's outside. There's views of Denver if you're near the top of it. It's just an awesome place to see a show.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with Widespread Panic, but they had three concerts on three consecutive nights, and they're known for... They're kind of like the Fish of this generation, the Grateful Dead, so to speak, where they just have a following of people that travel the country going to show after show that make money just selling just whatever, selling food, selling glass pieces, just whatever. Bums, maybe they're just... I know I talked to one guy that like worked in the ski industry during the winter and traveled with Widespread Panic in the summer, and it's just they have a lot. I mean, you can go there and buy whatever, listen to people making music, you can buy stuff, buy some, I guess, illicit drugs if you need them, just anything. It's just an awesome place to meet hippies, basically. So if you're ever looking for that type of crowd, go on the internet, look up Widespread Panic concert near your area, and check that out, because that's awesome show, awesome people that are associated with it.
But yeah, awesome scene.
I think we had just not been on a vacation, so to speak, or we decided 2006 that we were going to take a vacation.
Yeah, I think we were both working full-time hours at that point. I was working at the grocery store stocking shelves, I think.
Yeah, I was working at a pizza place managing a pizza, assistant managing a pizza restaurant and working... pretty much working 40 hours, mostly in the evening and late night.
Yeah, I was working 10 and 12 hour days as a part-time employee, but still putting in 35, almost 40 hours. So I was making a decent amount of money, so it was just time for vacation. So we looked that up, and we wanted to go to Widespread Panic, and we decided, hey, while we're out there, we should also go on a hike. I don't know who connected that.
Yeah, I think originally we were just kind of like, okay, let's go there a day or two early and camp, or maybe go on a day hike.
Yeah, we were just originally it was just like, let's just the national park.
Let's just chill out in the national park and not do anything too crazy.
But you had been hiking in before in Colorado.
Yeah, both in 1999 and in 2001, I'd been out there, been out to Colorado to actually do backpacking. Me and some friends load everything up. In 1999, it was several friends. In 2001, it was just a special lady friend and I just load everything up in your backpack and walk away from the car for 2 or 3 days.
But it's like we were kind of prepared to do that. I had gone out and bought a new backpack. I mean, a cheap $70 one at the sporting goods store. But I had bought a new backpack for that. So I think we had planned on doing some hiking, walking in to do some camping. But I don't think we had prepared for that kind of hiking.
Initially it was just not much, but then the more we talked about it, let's maybe find a place where we could walk in a mile and spend a night or something. We want to go on a day hike. Well, we need to, you need a backpack for just some long day hikes.
But we hadn't really researched where the campgrounds were, the campsites were, that they were several miles in. We had just thought we were going to, basically National Forest rules, we were going to walk 200 yards from the road and find a place to pitch a tent, find some flat ground and pitch a tent. But when we got there and went to the visitor center and talked to Steve Koob, then we realized that the rules were different.
Yeah, because, initially, we were in Iowa, we didn't have much as far as, we couldn't buy a whole lot of resources as far as, food and just backpacking essentials, and we really, didn't have a lot of gear, we didn't have a lot of information, and it ended up kind of getting into more than what we thought. I guess I can even start. I took kind of a journal of notes and of what how things went. So the Widespread Panic thing was on a Friday. So we left Monday, it says left at 2 a.m. So we were driving out in the middle of the night. It's probably just because we had my full size van. And if I remember right, we had a seat in the very, very back up against the back window. It was a window van with bench seats in it. Almost like a school bus.
So there'd be three benches when we took out the first two and just had the one in the back.
Yeah, just tossed in a futon mattress on the floor. So it was gear was on the back. Our gear was on the back seat and was behind that seat, under that seat, and then we had that bed.
And the futon mattress, like, because of the wheel wells, it was just, like, kind of bowed in the middle, so it was mildly uncomfortable for two people to sleep there.
And it says we arrived in Denver at 12 p.m. Mountain Time.
Right on.
So that would actually be...
You don't know who drove from where or what?
No.
Because we usually do, like, you'll drive, and I'll hang out and smoke with you, and then I'll take over driving while you go pass out in the back.
Yep.
And I'll drive for 4 hours, and then you wake up and drive for 4 more hours while I try and get some sleep in the back. But that usually doesn't work because I'm too excited to get there.
Mm-hmm. So it's light
and,
sleeping.
And it's sleeping. Like the sun has already come up, and it's some light sleeping. And then we rolled in towards Boulder. Like, didn't we head towards there first?
What do you got? I said we drove up through the canyons and through Meeker Park. Went through Estes Park, then over the Fall River Pass, and stopped at park headquarters to ask questions and find a destination. So we definitely stopped somewhere and did some shopping. But as far as like food, stuff to cook on the trail.
Yeah, hiking stuff.
Probably just some sort of little few essentials. We had to have got something. Couldn't have had everything. I know we were in Sports Authority and we had probably had some stuff.
Yeah, there was the time with we went there and we both spent like $80 in food or something.
Probably, yeah.
Just the Mountain House meals.
Yeah.
Just the dehydrated meals that add boiling water and weight.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, then we basically, if you guys are, probably not a lot of people are familiar with it. It's like you get to Estes Park and it's kind of a small town, and then you enter the national park, and we had to pay a $20 probably had to pay a fee to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the national park, it's protected. I mean, you there are trails that are well maintained, but you can't shoot a gun in the national park. You can't camp wherever you want in the national park.
Yeah, you can't park in the parking lots overnight.
Yeah, everything has to be specific. So, we ended up going to a park headquarters and paid a $20 then backpacking fee, which for that $20 then we had basically a week that we could spend in the backcountry. And the backcountry is basically campsites that are walking distance away from the car, but anywhere from 1 to many, many miles away from your car. And you can spend anywhere from 1 to a whole week away from your car out in these backcountry sites. And yeah, originally we didn't realize that you had to register, that those were sites, that they were specific sites, that you couldn't just find a place in the woods and camp.
Hmm.
And that's what we wanted to do, was like go off trail and do that sort of thing. But I think then once we started getting into what we were going to get into, we realized that that would have been a lot. That would have been too much hiking, too much bushwhacking. Just would have been way over our heads. Cause even as it was, we did a lot more than we had intended on doing.
Yeah.
So then we planned with Ranger Steve Koob at the, I don't even know how to pronounce it, the visitor center. It's over the K.
Koinichi
or Kiwanichi Visitor Center. We always joked about that. We ever that Steve Koob, because he was really like, really knew his stuff. He was super helpful.
He had been on those trails. Like, there was one place that we wanted to go that was like Timber Lake, that was the trailhead north of where we ended up being, and he was like, he had been there and he was telling us how much snow was on the trail. And I don't know, coming from Iowa, we were impressed that he knew his trails that well.
Yeah, it's like we would get there and we're like, oh man, I don't think this is seems like a really bad idea, and they're like, I don't know, I mean, Steve Koob said it was okay, so it must be fine. Or we would just, I don't know, we kept making references back to that guy.
Yeah, so anytime we talked about a ranger or any ranger, or we joked that they were named Steve Koob. There was one time later on we saw like a couple of kids on the trail. One had a chainsaw on his back. We were joking later on that we saw a couple of Steve Koobs on the trail.
You'd see a place where they'd, a downed tree, they'd cut it off the trail, it's like, oh, Steve Koob's been here.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was funny at the time because, we ended up deciding on, I'm not even sure, like basically 3 nights mm-hmm. the backcountry, that we were going to walk away from the van and spend 3 nights in the backcountry. And based on time, so that would have been, you know, we didn't have much time because that would have been somewhere.
We got into you said we got into town at noon. But we were...
On Monday.
Yeah. So we spent that night on the trail.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. So it says left the visitor center at 4:30, mm. went into Grand Lake Village, which is a town nearby, and had dinner at the gas station. It's like there's not a McDonald's in that town. It's just a small mountain.
It's not even a grocery store. Is there a grocery store?
Not necessarily. Maybe. There's probably a supply store.
A country store.
It might not have been
general store.
4:30. I don't know. Left trailhead after 6 p.m. going the wrong way.
Oh, I remember that. That was my fault.
Because from the trail you can walk two directions, and we started uh-huh. walking basically south, mm-hmm. and we ended up following the road. And we're like, "This sucks. Why are we following the fucking road?"
Yeah, we walked for 20-30 minutes before busting out the map and realizing mm-hmm. what we'd done.
An Ahu Creek Trailhead has two ways to go, and we went towards Green Mountain Trailhead instead of down an Ahu Creek Trail.
Whoops.
Got back to an Ahu Creek Trailhead around 6:30. And then it says hiked up 715 feet and 2.4 miles to an Ahu Creek campsite, set up camp by 8:30. Smoking in the tent, an Ahu Creek campsite to the left as you come up. So yeah, it was a 2 hours hike. We hiked 2.4 miles. Mm. So, I mean, a little over a mile an hour, but we gained some 350 some feet every hour.
Yeah, so we were walking up. Yeah, I remember that being, it was almost sunset and we were stressing out that we didn't know where we were going or how close we were.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we ended up getting there and setting up our shitty ass little tent. Like,
is that when we took the one person tent?
That was the one person tent. Yeah, it was like we had bought in Iowa. We had found a deal on a small, lightweight, super lightweight tent.
Yeah, it was like $120 or something.
It was basically meant for two people.
Yeah,
but we had to sleep like foot to face. Because there just was, like, we couldn't sleep shoulder to shoulder. There wasn't enough room for that.
No.
And even still, like, I had to tuck my head into one corner of the tent, and you had to tuck yours into the opposite corner.
Yeah.
And it was just, like...
It was tight.
It was stupid. Like, I don't know why we didn't just... I'd have carried 5 more pounds. But I don't know. It was lightweight, and I felt efficient, I guess. But.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was all Monday. All that shit on Monday. Yep. So Tuesday, left Anahu Creek and hiked to Sunset Campsite.
I remember waking up and feeling good about where we were, though. It was, you know, just a bright sunny day in the meadow in the national park. And I remember waking up and feeling good about what we were doing, though. Like, I was stressed out the night before, but I remember waking up and eating our Mountain House meals, breakfast, and that tasting good, and just sitting next to a stream near a meadow, just... being amazed at where we were and what we were doing. So
yeah, I mean, away from the car, away from noise, out in the national park where no one is around. And really having the campsite was great because everything was leveled, there was a downed tree we could sit on.
Yeah.
It was very comfortable. There's no one around. It was very just there was
and
a creek.
I remember that being one of the big things, like one of the other big motivators for doing this whole thing is that we wanted isolation. Like at that point, like we really liked it, like going hiking and going places where we were isolated and felt like we were, you know, miles from any other people, not hearing the roar of the interstate and stuff like that. So I remember that being a big motivator going there, is the isolation that we felt. So once we woke up that day and realized that we were a couple of miles from the car, and that was kind of what we wanted.
Yeah. So then we hiked to that sunset, which was... In 2008, we ended up coming back the opposite way down that trail, but it was like up a kind of a steep short ridge and then down a long ridge.
Yeah.
And then just kind of we were in a meadow, and it says it took us 2.5 hours. So we hiked that day.
Hmm.
Saw a moose and her child grazing and drinking in a stream.
Yeah, in the meadow, I suppose.
That sunset, it says campsite overlooks trail, which gives us a secluded yet aware vantage point.
Yeah.
Because we could see the trailhead or the trail, but people couldn't necessarily see us.
Yeah, they would walk by the marker for our campsite, like 500 yards, well, no, 100 yards down the trail. But then they would walk past us like we were 100 feet above them on the cliff. So.
Because, yeah, the trail to the campsite kind of curved back around a hill and then up the hill, and the campsite was kind of overlooking, the trail.
So we would watch people walking by, and they had no idea we were there. Again, the isolation, that was kind of cool, just kind of stalking even the two people that were within miles of us. We were stalking them, and we could see them, but they couldn't see us.
There was a pile of rocks and sand next to the site, possibly a grave.
Mm.
Remember that? It was like a big random pile of, like a mound of rocks.
Yeah, of rocks and dirt. Something that was obviously put there by people.
And we were thinking that it was like a horse had died out there or something.
Yeah, like one of their workhorses.
There was a horse trail. Just even a workhore on the...
Yeah.
As far as the trails were built in the 30s, so...
But then I thought later on that, like, that... Where you leave the trail to go towards that campsite isn't very well maintained. It's not improved. So I was thinking that was like the rocks that they had hauled up there or gathered from around that area and just dumped in that spot so that in the future they would improve that trail with those rocks.
But sure.
They just hadn't gotten to it yet or something. So I don't think it was actually a horse grave.
Yeah.
It was circular.
And I have here considered hiking out. I think that was probably mostly me as far as the next night we were continuing to walk even farther into the national forest, into the national park.
We were walking uphill, which we were then going to have to turn around and walk back to get home.
Yeah, I was
so
just...
So to walk another mile or two
It's like farther. We hadn't showered, since Iowa. We were kind of away. I think I had brought in a... I had had somebody make me, somebody that I knew when I was in college that blew glass. They made me a bubbler with a removable bong bowl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was a handheld bubbler with a removable bong bowl, and they had put my name on it, just Mark, M-A-R-K, etched it in there in glass.
Not etched, it was like they had used the glass rod to
put it on there.
Put it on there. It was like.
It was textured, basically, so. Yeah. Some people thought that was stupid that I would want a piece with my name on it.
Yeah, in Iowa, most people want to hide the fact that it's their pipe.
I thought this would be cool. I mean, what are the chances of having that? But I ended up breaking it that day at some point. And I think that was annoying because then we were down to like...
A chillum, I think.
And it was just like our vacation. We were just like away from any responsibility. Like there was no reason to not just be like... Super baked all day. But, fuck. It broke the stupid piece. And then, it was, a certain level of being away from comforts. I mean, not...
Yeah.
I mean, if you sprain your ankle, it's 3 miles out. I mean, no one's carrying me out.
It's not so much that. It's my vacation. Why am I not sleeping in a bed?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I not taking a shower? Why am I not comfortable on my vacation?
Mm-hmm. But then I remember, I don't even know, Wednesday. Wednesday, I remember waking up. I probably woke up before you. And I had some hot chocolate. It was probably damn cold.
Yeah.
Just being at altitude, I mean, we were sleeping at somewhere near probably 8 to 10,000 feet. So it was probably really cold when I woke up. But, there was the stream that was relatively close. We were kind of on a... overlook as far as being able to see kind of the dense forest around us, and it was a very kind of peaceful, relaxing feeling like that morning for me, just kind of like, wow, this is awesome, we'd hiked in this far, like this is cool, like felt very relaxing and felt good, and I really wasn't ready to leave yet.
I still wanted to go explore more. I wanted to still see something else.
And then, and then we kind of started looking at, the next, what we were about to hike. It's like, dude, it's not really going to be that far.
No.
I have down Sunset Site to Lower Granite Falls, less than 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was probably relatively flat as far as a little bit uphill. Yeah.
Didn't we hike there, put our packs down, and then go hiking some more? Like, it'd go on an adventure without our packs?
Mm-hmm. Met an older couple on the trail as we were sitting resting that did a day hike to the falls.
Yeah.
I remember being like, oh.
They had walked there on their afternoon off. Like,
yeah.
When we had taken 3 grueling days to get there.
Yeah, we were on day 3, more or less. And they had just, yeah, we're going to walk there. So, yeah, we kept going. Set up camp and whatnot, then did a day hike. Hiked from Lower Granite Falls into Tanahutu Meadows. So, yeah, we set our stuff down and, like, then walked, like, another 90 minutes, kept going.
Yeah. Which was easy, not having our pack on.
Oh, we were carrying 50 pounds probably each worth of gear. I mean, we split the tent, but we each had a pad to sleep on. We each had sleeping bags.
Yeah, I had my old-ass sleeping bag. My old school sleeping bag from when I was a little kid.
We had a change of clothes, probably one change of clothes, you know, maybe a pair of pants, something warm to wear as far as a sweatshirt. We had a water filter.
Yeah, 3 days worth of food.
That's what we did.
We always had 2 quarts of water. Yeah, 2 quarts of water on us.
It's like, yeah, every morning we'd have to get up and go to the stream. And the water filter that you use for backpacking is basically something where you just pump. You got to pump it. It's like a hand pump, and it squirts water out of a hose. It's like one hose goes into the stream, the other hose goes into your little canteen, and you pump it. And we filled up all 4 some canteens. We'd usually have breakfast and whatnot that required water. We'd clean up, required water. We'd usually have to filter again.
Yeah.
For the whole rest of the day, and then we'd probably have to filter some water again at the end of the night as far as more food and water and cleaning up and whatnot. But yeah, that was more or less the gear. I mean, other just little stuff, flashlight and
yeah, I probably took way too much. I probably took a compass and a knife and pliers and needle and thread, and I probably took all sorts of gear that wasn't necessary. Trash bags and stuff like that. I mean, well, we always take trash bags just for like picking up trash on the trail and stuff like that, but I think I remember taking like big trash bags for like waterproofing stuff.
So then we ended up coming back and spending the night at that Lower Granite. Oh, that Tanahutu Meadows was sweet.
Yeah, I mean, that was
like a big meadow. It was in the middle of the mountains.
Yeah, that was an amazing place. We were, like, walking along the trail, and we kept saying, oh, what's around the next corner? What's around the next corner? And we're like joking, oh, there's not going to be anything around the next corner. Like, we're not going to find something cool around the next corner. We keep saying, what's around the next corner?
Mm-hmm.
And then we actually did come around the next corner and come into, like, an amazing meadow.
Yeah, it's 7 miles deep into the forest. It's just, like, no one's around. Just flowers growing in weird places because it was mid-June,
yeah.
So the summertime in the mountains, and just awesome. There was a creek running through it somewhere, and just, yeah, we kind of just explored it, and just were
Yeah, we were climbing peaceful. On all the geology and stuff, and there was a campsite nearby that we ended up walking over there towards, and then, like, it started to snow and sleet while we were up there. Just crazy that it was the middle of June, and we were getting snowed on.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it started to...
So we were, like, we wanted to head back, but it was snowing and sleeting good enough that we would have gotten pretty wet if we'd have gone out there and started walking back. So
we just hung out underneath some trees. Hung out
and smoked a bowl under the trees.
Yeah, that's awesome. But, yeah, then we kind of just went back and we're exploring the falls, and there's a waterfall that was decently close to our campsite.
Yeah, we took some pictures there. I remember seeing, like, part of I guess I'd call it a glacier, but it's like just a part of a piece of ice from the snow. I remember finding snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and weird places where there's like a big shadow like underneath a rock or something.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, Thursday, hiked from Lower Granite Falls out the Green Mountain Trailhead, then hiked up to the Anahu Creek Trailhead into the van. So we hiked out to the trailhead, to one trailhead, but then we had to walk along the path that was along the road.
That we tried to walk down that we had made the wrong turn, so we ended up having to take that way back home.
So it ended up being 5+ miles from Granite Falls to the Green Mountain Trailhead, and then 0.7 back to the van, so less than 6 miles back. Mm-hmm. And then just Pretty excited probably to get back to the van. I don't know what we do exactly. Imagine, so that was Thursday. We left the van at Monday at 6 p.m., and we got back to the van somewhere on Thursday afternoon.
Yep.
So, a good 3 days.
Yeah.
A little less, probably, as far as...
Is that the day that we went and, like, went to the place and, like, bought a shower?
Like, yep.
We had gone to the place that you had gone to back in the day. And you're like, I know where we can buy a shower. And I'm like, that sounds good to me. I would like a shower.
We didn't want to pay for hotels to get a shower. We just wanted a shower.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just a few miles down the road. It was kind of like a mobile home park place, but they also had a... You could buy a shower. It was like relatively cheap. It was like $5 a piece, or
no, I think
it's like $5 for two of us.
We didn't. Well, like we went and took the shower, and then we went back up to her at her place, and we're like, "How much did you want?" And she's like, "Oh, like $3 a piece, or something, like $2 a piece, or something ridiculous." And I'm like, "Well, here's 10. Keep the change, and thank you very much." Like,
yeah, I was like,
we were expecting it to be at least $5 a piece.
Because, yeah, there's no other showers around, and, like, there was, like, I think it was supposed to be, like, a male and a female, like, they were separate, but
yeah,
basically it was like, yeah, we each had our own, like, giant bathroom and shower, and I was like,
yeah.
Can you imagine not having showered since some Sunday night or so, and, like, oh, yeah, my gosh, it sweated so much, and just, oh.
Yeah, we
had spent the best shower of my life.
Yeah, several grueling days on the trail, sweating and dirty.
Because, yeah, even the 90 minutes one day, just if it took us 3 hours to hike out, it's still just like, we had backpacks on. It was in the sun, like, mm-hmm. still low humidity, and it was still, like,
yeah.
could have been worse, but still, just, oh, my God.
But, yeah, like you said, that was one of the best showers of my life. I was telling you that story the other day, that shower was one of the best showers of my life. Just mm-hmm. like, it was, there was not much water pressure, but it was hot and it was cleansing, and it was like, I remember standing there under just like some dripping water. There was barely any water pressure, but I remember standing there and enjoying the cleanliness of it.
And,
mm-hmm. Yeah, just the other day I was telling him that I don't really need a lot of water pressure when I take a shower, that I just, you know, kind of get it to where it's barely enough to coming out at the proper pressure. I don't need it to be blasting full blast. So,
so then it says drove to Mirror Lake Trailhead in the Arapaho National Forest. I think because I'd been there in '99 and 2001, I took some like pictures just next to the lake.
Yeah,
and then we went into Granby, the town of Granby, and had lunch at Munchies.
Oh, yeah, Mad Munchies.
Mad Munchies.
Yeah.
You had a sub, I had a burger.
Yeah. Why did we... Had you gone there before? Why did we go to Mad Munchies?
No, we just,
Munchies?
Like, drove into town, and it was like, we were like... Okay, because we've been eating, like, meals that you, like, put boiling water in and let sit for 10 minutes. Like,
yeah.
It was all super salty.
High sodium. Yeah.
We didn't, you know, we hadn't had any, like, soda or anything in days. Like,
yeah.
Just, like, we wanted some...
And, like, we got in the van and started smoking, and we smoked a few bowls, like, by the time, you know, by the time we got to whatever, Grand Lake, it was just mm-hmm. too soon. We weren't done smoking yet, so we kept on driving down the road to, got into
Granby.
I remember, like, driving through the middle of town, kind of still smoking, and...
Yeah, I've been like
driving past, and it's like, yeah, let's go to Mad Munchies.
Mad Munchies, man. There we go.
I'm going to get some Mad Munchies.
And yeah, like, I guess they're lucky we didn't stroll in there before the shower.
Yeah.
But yeah, we probably just strolled in there in like sandals and like wet hair and whatnot, and just like, oh my God, burger.
We probably looked like we were from out of town.
I know, probably all hairy, and yeah, just like wanting the food. And it says, drove over Berthoud Pass into 1 hour traffic jam along a few miles of I-70.
So, oh, like, yeah.
We ended up going from, like, peacefulness out in the nature to, like...
Isolated.
Freaking traffic jam. Because that would have been a Thursday evening. So it was probably just... Mm-hmm. Just... We got into rush hour.
Yep.
Got off at Colfax, stopped at 7-Eleven, looked in the phone book for head shops.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was interesting, because we're like, yeah, we need to go to Denver and find some head shops. And then we get there and realize, oh shit, we didn't plan any of this. There's probably not going to be any head shops around. But we went to the 7-Eleven, looked in the phone book, and they just happened to be like five of them within a mile of us or something like that. There were a lot fairly close to us. So we went around to a few head shops. What were we looking for? We were looking for a bong.
Yeah, this is great. Okay, this is exactly how it is in the journal. Rocky Mountain Pipeline, then Heads of State, then Freakies, where Mark bought Kryptonite in 2001, which is a pipe I have. Yeah, then Marley's on Sheridan, where a water pipe was purchased.
Marley's, yeah.
And yeah, we ended up buying that beaker bong.
Yeah, the first original one.
That you have. Then we drove aimlessly looking for a motel. Ended up smoking a bunch and eating Fazoli's in Aurora. It's like, we ended up in Aurora.
Yeah, we just drove for a while. We just, like, we're on a road and we're just driving straight. There's got to be a motel here eventually. We're going to get to the interstate or something and there'll be a motel. But there wasn't. There's just a bunch of, like, shopping malls and fast food. So we stopped at the fast food to get some food.
And then I think we were driving around looking for campsites. We were going to camp near Red Rocks. We were also...
The same day.
Well, because then it says... then decided to get two nights near the Red Rocks. Drove across town, got two nights for $109 instead of some other word I can't spell. Lagunta for $190 for one night? Okay, like probably another motel.
We went to the Motel 6.
Yeah. Motel 6 on Kingsley, checked out room, went to Target for dryer sheets. Used water pipe after Mark freaked out about no soap.
No soap? I don't remember that. Do you remember that?
No, I don't. Motel 6 on Kingsley doesn't have do not disturb sign. The door hits the trash. The AC takes up leg room. No alarm. No soap. Bitch, all the shit it doesn't have. No commode cover. No bedside drawer or Bible. And requires a signature to get a do not disturb. Showers, yes, it feels good. Much talk about doing it again. That's weird. Because, yeah, like, we had just camped and shit. We were going to get a hotel room. And it's probably all pissed that it was a crappy-ass Motel 6.
Oh, yeah, we were after being on the trail for a while, wanting to have comforts of a motel.
Spending the whole day in the car, like, because we got to drove around. We did the shower. We drove down to that lake. We drove into Granby. We drove over the Berthoud Pass. We driving looking for head shops. We drove around smoking, looking for a campsite. Mm-hmm. Drove around smoking, looking for a hotel. Like, fuck, that was a stressful day.
Yeah.
But we ended up having that bong. And we were in Denver.
Yeah.
Friday, parked in lower lot at Red Rocks. Found nugs, then chocolates, then tickets.
That sounds like a good day to me.
Because, yeah, at that point, we were probably... We had weed, but it was, like, shitty Iowa weed.
Yeah.
Mexi swag.
Yeah, for sure.
So we found some nugs, because we want to be able to, like, smoke in the concert and not offend people. And not have to, like, take in a bong.
Yeah. Smoke blunts.
Yeah. And chocolates. We ended up finding... mushroom chocolates, like a lot. Like, I'm pretty sure I did it all three nights.
Yeah, you did it every night. I think I skipped Saturday night, but I think you did it all three nights.
Yeah. Because we...
Just because on Saturday, I didn't take it until I wasn't going to take it until we got tickets, and we didn't get tickets.
No, Friday, tickets were free, drugged up high class gal, and $10.
Yeah, because we had passed somebody that was, like, selling one ticket for $10. And we're like, well, fuck, we need two tickets. We can't just... We're not going to buy that ticket yet. But then there was this other girl that, like, you talked to and gave you a ticket. And we're like, okay, let's run back down the hill, grab that ticket for $10.
Then it says, after Miracle Ticket, we decided on chocolates, $20.
Yeah. Because we're like, okay, we were like, we were gonna go into the show, but we only had like we were on a budget. We had we couldn't spend $80 a piece that night, so we couldn't spend $40 in tickets and $40 on chocolates. So, did it say how much the chocolates were?
Yeah, $20. After Miracle tickets, we decided on chocolate $20.
So $20 on
So we spent like $50 total. For the show and the chocolates, that was pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Do that again in a heartbeat. Great show, great night. drove to Westminster and had IHOP and Garage Bongs. So that would have been the night that we ended up meeting up with my friend Gershwa.
Yeah.
Gersewick.
Yeah, and it's like he suggested we go to IHOP, but then didn't eat anything.
He's a vegetarian, so that was he probably would have had like a grilled cheese sandwich or something. But yeah, I don't remember why we went to IHOP.
Yeah, it was specific to IHOP.
And then
it was cool to be in a enclosed space, and I felt safe smoking in his even in his parents' garage. I still felt safe.
Yeah, I mean he was in his 20s, but still living with his parents because they had just recently all moved out to Colorado. And he was working as a waiter somewhere. And yeah, we just went out and he had a glass bong and we smoked out in his garage.
Mm-hmm.
Same old Gershwa in bed after 3 a.m. Because we went to the concert, then we drove out to the suburbs. And then went from there. Saturday, woke up late, obviously. Maids barged in and... In at Wake and Bake.
I remember that.
Maids barged in at Wake and Bake, yeah. They must have been, like, knocking or something. Like, they, like, tried to come in. I don't know. That's what I have.
I don't remember that.
Oh, okay. So, maybe that day we weren't looking for a campsite. Because then I have Saturday. Drove around looking for a campsite up past Red Rocks.
Yeah.
And back past Tiny Town.
Yeah, that, I remember
all
that.
All campsites day. Full. Parked in upper lot. Bad. It was all frats. So we didn't like the upper lot. We wanted the lower lot.
Yeah.
Got more chocolate. Two each. I took one at 5:45, but we never found tickets. Walked and walked. Smoked a bowl on the hill above. Watched police climb sacred rocks. Indecision, ended up with the Motel 6 on Federal Avenue. Bong's very chill.
Yeah, we weren't sure what we should do. Like we were.
Didn't go to that show.
We weren't in the show. We had climbed the hill behind the concert to smoke a bowl, but then gone back to the van trying to figure out what to do. Just in that indecision, we got distracted by watching the police chase somebody up the rocks. Like, they sent five people up to climb on these rocks to catch someone who shouldn't be climbing on the rocks. Like,
yeah, and I remember, like, because I was on chocolate, and I remember not thinking that was cool at all.
Yeah, that guy's not supposed to be disturbing those rocks, so they're gonna send five people up there to disturb the rocks too. Like, I don't know. Yeah, that was a weird vibe, even for me. But yeah, so then we ended up going to a motel and chilling out.
Yeah, and I think that was awesome because, yeah, that was just like...
You were probably still tripping.
Yeah, I was still tripping on fucking shrooms. Sunday, this is cool. At the lot by one, I bought a chocolate, went to the hippie lot for tickets, jumped at 2 for $80. So we ended up buying two tickets for $80. Chilled at the van, ate two each. So we ate more brownies. And into the show at 3:15. Crowded by drunks, but still a great show.
Yeah, I remember being, like, getting down towards the center of the crowd, but then just getting squeezed in by a bunch of drunk people that were dancing and not minding their own space.
We ended up just going
so
back.
Then we ended up going like back to like the 10th row towards the back, like back where all the moms were dancing with their little kids and stuff. Like,
and that'd be awesome because that's when that was the end of the Sunday show, and that's where they played that Burning Down the House.
Yeah, it was like the show ended and the house music came up, and It was like the talking heads burning down the house, but yet it came up to full volume. Like, you know, widespread panic ended and burning down the house came on at full volume, but nobody moved, nobody stopped and left. They all kept dancing and just the party kept going. It was awesome.
Party on the hillside. It was great.
And then it was like the Beastie Boys after that, I think. I can't remember. But then after that, they turned down the volume and everybody left.
Get the hell out.
They realized that nobody was leaving, and so they turned down the volume.
So then Motel 6 on Kingsley again. More bong. Big plans for tomorrow. That was Saturday. That was Sunday night.
Plans for tomorrow. What do we do on Monday?
Drove through Boulder after Subway lunch, stopped briefly at North Face store, but in a hurry, so we went across the parking lot to that Neptune Mountaineering.
Okay, yeah.
Bought cheesecake-ish desserts for the hike. This was the day hike.
Okay.
Drove into park at East End, up towards Bear Lake, parked at Glacier Gorge Junction Trailhead. Hiked up to Mills Lake, then back some and out to the lock, and couldn't get past Timberline Falls, snow-covering trail, waterfall in the way as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we ended up going on a super long hike. Like, we kind of hiked in, kind of took a little thing that went out to a lake and came back, and then continued down the trail and went past another lake that was called, like, the Lock. Again, this is all in the National Park again, Rocky Mountain National Park.
Yeah.
And ended up trying to go past the Lock, past that Timberline Falls. But we couldn't.
We got stopped by snow.
So we probably ended up chilling out there and smoking. Or maybe we, because it was starting to get sunset.
Yeah, we smoked a bowl there.
And then we started walking out and it was getting dark. We had our headlamps. I think I kind of almost twisted my ankle once.
Yeah, that was one where you slipped and fell. Yeah. And it was one where, like, the rock was about, you know, 8 inches tall, and it was like kind of like a step, and there was two steps back to back, so there was like a step down that you just didn't see, and you came close to breaking your shin on that one.
Like that would have been really, really bad.
You scraped your shin up pretty good, and if you'd have busted it any harder, then you'd have broken your leg there and we'd have been miles from help. As the sun was going down, without any food or warmth or shelter.
So we ended up kind of keep going, but at some point when it was just like totally dark, we were just like, okay, let's just stop, let's chill out, we're gonna smoke another bowl, and then we'll keep on walking out. So we just smoked a bowl in like total darkness, more or less, with our backpacks, and like not in a place where there was no campsites, we didn't have stuff, we didn't have much food. Like, we had to hike out. There was not like, we had no choice but to hike out. It was a little darker and later than what we thought it was going to be.
But we had our shitty little headlamps. Just like our little one LED light. Just crappy little lights. But we had our little lights, so we just kind of sat down and accepted it and let the darkness come.
And ended up hiking
we
out.
We got like, out at like, what, 12:50 or something?
When
we
were hitting, remember.
Getting to the car.
It says, smoked a new piece in the van, then Dan drove east on Highway 34.
I remember, like, being at the trailhead, dark as hell, late as hell, being alone, but yet I was still super paranoid about smoking a bowl and hotboxing the van. I just didn't want the ranger to roll up and be like, what the fuck are you doing at this parking lot in the middle of the night? Because you can't sleep in the parking lot in the middle of the night, so they would probably just assume that that's what we were doing. Just anyone in their car during the night is not supposed to be there, so I was just still paranoid. And I remember getting in, I don't know, kind of an argument about that, and so that you were just wanting to fucking sit there and get high. Like, there was nobody else around and no reason not to, so. Yeah, we ended up climbing into the back of the van and busting out the new bong again.
And yeah, we smoked a bit and started heading home. That was about it.
Yeah.
Stopped at a, he says, crashed at mile 158 in Nebraska at a rest stop. Slept. Then Mark drove to Council Bluffs. Dan drove home back by 3 p.m. So back by 3 p.m. on Tuesday. Yeah, so.
That's a lot of stuff in just a little over a week.
I know, like, it's a crazy trip.
Considering, I think the next time we went out there, we took 2 weeks or something, but didn't do near as much stuff. Like, we went hiking and no concert.
Yeah, ended up spending just more time chilling at the van and more time...
Yeah, relaxing and acclimatizing ourselves or whatever, which was important.
And that'd be something cool to get into. I mean, this seemed like it was a good story to get into. This
was a long story.
I don't quite know the long little thing. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, we'll
like our road to Colorado.
Yes. But yeah, we'll have to get into the 2008 trip. Like, that makes me think, as fun as that was, like, why didn't we go out in 2007? But I think it's like I had a hot air balloon and we were doing stuff.
2007 was Bonnaroo.
Oh, we went to Bonnaroo.
Bonnaroo. Tool at Bonnaroo.
Maybe we'll have to talk about that next time.
Maybe.
Bonnaroo. But yeah, as far as podcasts or Red Band Radio, see, this was pretty cool. This was pretty.
That was an entertaining story.
Yeah, I hope everybody liked it. Like I said, it'll be on redband.com first. Eventually, we'll add some video and some pictures, maybe, of the trip. Because we just have like 35 millimeter pictures of the trip.
Yeah, so we didn't have digital cameras back then.
Like, take digital pictures of our pictures.
And I think that would be good enough to tell the story.
Sure. So that'll be interesting as hell. So.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, make sure you guys check out our website, redband.com. The YouTube channel is youtube.com/redband with a 3. That's R3DBAND.
Yeah, same thing with the website. Yeah, redband with a 3. Uh-huh. And yeah, hope everybody's doing well. We'll have some more content up soon. And until next time, take care.
Yeah, see you guys later.